Justin McCarthy, who eventually became a journalist and helped organize the National Newspaper Guild, before that was a student and worked at a Ford assembly plant, described conditions in the late 30s.
Ford Motor Company, Hagelish assembly plant. The parts were brought down from the River Rouge plant and were assembled at the Hagelish plant. In those days, it was a good job. I was being paid $5 a day for 6 days a week, and I worked there for several months sandpapering fenders. I sandpapered all the right-hand fenders on all the Fords that were assembled at that plant. I experienced two things which I think you may be interested in. One was the famous Ford speed-up. When I went to work at the plant in January, they were turning out 232 Ford cars a day, and you multiply that by two, and that's how many right fenders I sandpapered every day. When I quit, 4 months later, we were turning out 535 cars a day, and I was sandpapering all the right-hand fenders, just like I did at the beginning, without any extra help. No increase in pay, $5 a day. And I went in there, and the first day, I'll never forget the first day I went in there, I didn't know that you couldn't go out of the plant once you got in until the end of the workday. Nobody bothered to tell me that. I also didn't know that Mr. Ford didn't supply people who sandpapered fenders with gloves. You're supposed to buy your own work gloves. He did supply the sandpaper, so you can imagine the condition of my hands at the end of my first day of work. I was a young fellow right out of college. My hands were not in very good shape anyway for this kind of work. And I discovered after I got in there that I could not get out of the plant for lunch and that they did not permit any commissary or chuck wagons to come into the plant, so I didn't have any lunch the first day I worked there, and I didn't have any gloves to sandpaper the fenders with. If you wanted to go to the toilet, you had to get a substitute on the assembly line, because otherwise they had to stop the assembly line, or at least that's what they told you. And you did not have permission to go to the toilet unless you got your assistant foreman to give you that permission, and he had to find a substitute worker, somebody that could sandpaper those two right fenders as they went by. And, of course, another thing, another little trick that they had was docking you an hour's work for being late any time at all. I mean, if you didn't punch that clock before 8 o'clock, you came in at 8:02, you were docked 1 hour's pay, you see. There wasn't any excuse. If you did this two or three times, why, you got fired for it, of course. You couldn't be late. I was aware of these men being around the plant and of a constant surveillance. They were espionage men. Yeah, there wasn't any question about that. I wasn't aware of what kind of people they were, the ex-convicts that were on parole, but it wasn't more than about 2 days after I was there that my fellow workers on the assembly line explained to me who these fellows were that were wandering around the plant, apparently doing nothing in particular. And, of course, there was no union, so they obviously were not shop stewards, and they obviously were not foremen, because they weren't telling anybody what to do particularly. But some of these men were uniformed at the gates when you came into the plant. The gates were locked when you came in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they were not opened up again until 5 o'clock in the afternoon when you left.
The recollections of Justin McCarthy.